morning, gentlemen. Shavua Tov. How are you? My goal for today is to try to find a point of overlap between Parshas Shlach and Parshas Korach. Parshas Shlach that we read yesterday, and specifically the chait of the Meraglim, and Parshas Korach, of course, the chait of Korach. That's my goal. In order to achieve this goal, we're going to ask the question of Parshas Shlach. I think it's the main question. The one who points out this question I have is the Lev Eliyahu. You don't have it on your pages, but the Lev Eliyahu, who was originally from England and settled here in Eretz Yisrael, his name was Rav Eliyahu Lapyan. Are you familiar?
Yes.
And he says the following, Tmiya, and he says that many have asked this question. I think it's almost the main question of Parsha Shlach. Hechi Tochin, how is it possible? Shanoshim Tzadikim Gedolim V'chashuvim Ka'elu. Rashi points out, as we'll soon see at the beginning of Parsha Shlach, which you can open up, and if you have the blue chumashim, you'll see it on page 368, and you'll see that the pasuk says that these individuals are called anoshim, and Rashi already identifies anoshim as anoshim chashuvim, that these were outstanding individuals. And it says, if you take a look in Rashi on pasuk gimel, when it says that God sent them, it says kulam anoshim. Rashi says, "Kol anoshim shebemikro loshem chashivus," and the also shok sherim hoyu. At that time when they were sent, they were sherim, and this seems to be problematic because
they
the pasuk says,
"The end."
Right, the pasuk says, "Vayashuvu misur haaretz vayelchu vayavo el Moshe." It means they came back from the 40 days of spying the land, so to speak. And then it says, Vayelchu Vayavo el Moshe. And they came back and they went to Moshe. And the Gemara in Masechta Sota quotes a statement of Rav Shimon, who says, Makish halichosim l'biosam. The Torah equates they're going out to their coming back. Ma biosam. Just like when they came back, it was bi'etza ra. They had a bad thing in mind. Af halichosam b'etzam. Even when they went out, it was bi'etza ra. So the question of Rabbi Yoel Lapyan, which is the question of all the commentaries here, is what are you telling me, that already the Halichas, when they went out, they were Rishoyim, they were evildoers? You can't ask a better question, because they were chosen because they were Tzadikim, they were chosen because they were Anoshim Chashuvim, they were Ksherim. So this is a very famous question. Again, just to summarize the question, there seems to be a contradiction in the statements of Chazal about who were these Meraglim. Were they Tzadikim and Chashuvim? That's what Rashi seems to indicate. Or already at that point, when they went out, Bahalichosam, on their way, they were already Rishoyim. How do we reconcile this? In fact, the Ramban, in his commentary here at the beginning of Parsha Shlach, says that he looked for a sequence to understand and justify the order in which these names appear. He says they don't reflect the Seder HaShvatim, in other words, the age of each Shevet. They don't reflect the Degolim, the way they were organized in the encampment. And the Ramban therefore says that they were organized according to their Chashivus, according to their significance. The greater the person, the earlier he came on the list. Now, if you make a calculation here, I believe that Yoshua ben Nun is number 5 on the list. Yeah. Let's see if I'm right about that. He says, Shamua ben Zakur, that's number 1. Then he's got Shofat ben Chori. Then he's got Kolev. Then he's got Yisachar. And then he's got Hoshea ben Nun. So Yoshua is number 5 on the list. That means that the first 4, okay, one of them is Kolev, so, but the first 4 were even greater than Yoshua. That's the way the Rabban learns it. I'll leave out Kalev right now, but I'm just saying, the first 4 were greater than Yoshua. This is not the approach, by the way, that's accepted by Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says that if you look carefully at the Pesukim, it starts with Reuven, then it goes to Shimon. Now Levi was not represented in the Meraglim, so then it goes to the next Shever, which is Yehuda, and then it goes to Yisachar. Now all these four Shvatim were B'nai Leah, so he says that makes sense. Only at this point Ephraim is introduced, because once he leaves the B'nai Leah, then he speaks about the greatest of them all, who was Yehoshua ben Nun. Anyway, that's not the Ramban's approach. Ramban's approach is that these people were all great tzaddikim, they were chashuvim, and how is it that they went off the path and they became rishoyim? And not only that, Chazal say lahakish, lahakish halichasam libiyasam. That just like they came back and they were rishoyim, so too when they went out on the derech, the halicha, they traveled towards Eretz Yisrael, that they were already rishoyim. How can you say they were rishoyim when they were chosen because of their greatness as anoshim chashuvim v'tzadikim? So that's an old, ancient question. Today, I want to approach this from a fresh new start and hopefully give a new insight into this whole parsha of the Meraglim. And that's going to lead us to the other page that I photocopied for you for Parshas Korach. And again, Korach also seems to have started with a great career, and yet he became the rebellious Korach that he was. So this page I need just for the shiur. After the shiur, I'll give you all the copies on that table there. If we have an extra copy here, that would be great. In any event, what we want to look at again, we saw Rashi, which is the second source on your page, and you didn't get one, David? There should be an extra copy over here. Yeah. And Rashi says, "Kol anoshim loshem chashivus v'yosef shakshevim hayu," that when they went out, they were good guys. And the Sfarno says that, what does it mean they were chashuvim? What does it mean they had a certain significance? Anoshim shebemikra is chashivus. He says that they are listed here mitzad ma'alosam because of their great level, and his kiram lefizik nosam, and also their wisdom, the wisdom of age. Hayukulam shavim b'mayla, as opposed to Ramban, who says that the greatest was on the top, and then it goes decreasingly down. The Sfarnos of the opinion that they were all equal in their mayla, and they were all sent as shluchim. Now, what does the word shlichus mean? Can you give me an English word for shlichus?
Agency,
excellent. They were all agents of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They were sent by Moshe for this agency. He says it's not, the names are not listed Keseder HaShvatim, nor Keseder HaDgolim, but rather they're listed L'malasam, their greatness, and they were all on the same level. They were all shluchim. In fact, the Balei Turim has an interesting insight here. If you take the first words of Pasuk Beis, which is the essence of what's going on, is Shlach Lecha Anoshim. And take a look, if you look at what's called the Sofek Tavos, you take a look at the Ches and the Chaf and the Mem, which are the last letters of those three words, Shlach Lecha Anoshim, you end up with the word Chacham. So these were very wise people. He was great, great tzaddikim. And yet, despite this all, the Pasuk tells us, Vayelchu Vayavo. And Rashi says, what's Vayelchu? They went and they came back. Ma Vayelchu, why does the Torah have to add that extra word Vayelchu that seems superfluous to teach you? Lahakish halichasam v'biyosam ha'biyosam v'yitzara af halichasam v'yitzara. That just like when they came back, they were in a bad state and they wanted to undermine the travel and the military campaign to conquer Israel, so too when they were on their way. And yet, we've seen all these proofs from Rashi and from the Ramban, from the Sfarno, and from the Balei Turim. They were all on such a great level. How could it be that Vayelchu, when they went out, they were already on a bad path, so to speak, on the wrong road? So what I want to do with you now is take a look at about, let's see if we can count them up. That we'll start with the Gur Aryeh, and then to the Archaim, and then go to the Chassam Sofer. All the above, all these, and there are about 10 of them, almost 10 of them anyway, they all give us the same answer, which I think is a very unique answer, and I think it has deep psychological meaning, and perhaps it could shed a light on Parshas Korach. So we'll start with the Maharal Miprag, who is more or less a contemporary in a different part of the world than the Arachayim HaKadosh, who's number 8. So we're doing number 7 and 8 if you happen to have the handout. And the Maral Miprag, in his super commentary on Chumash, says the following. When Rashi says, "Bi'osa shok sherim hoyu," that at that moment, when they were sent by Moshe Rabbeinu, they were ksherim, they were good guys, they were kosher Jews. Says the Gerarie, "Aval mishen nishlechu," once they were already sent on their path. In other words, according to the Gerarie, again, we're gonna, if you hang in there with me, Rabosai, with some patience, we're gonna flesh this out over and over again until we see the whole picture. That there are two moments in time. I call it time T1 and time T2. The first moment of time is the moment in which they were appointed by Moshe Rabbeinu and they became the shluchim, they became the agents. Then there's another point in time when they actually began what's called the halicha. They were out on the road, so to speak. They began to implement their agency. And although you and I might think that those two moments in time, T1 and T2, from the moment they were appointed until the moment they left on the trip, were very close in time, but at least on a conceptual basis, you know, in the ideal abstract world, those are two different things that happened. And again, you'll have to be patient with me, hold your questions till the end, because this is a story that develops and builds, and you won't see it until you see the whole picture. So we'll start with the Maral. He's going to give us the baby step forward, and then it's going to be fleshed out by the Arachayim and the Chasam Sofer and others. And again, I apologize that this year is very textual oriented. You know, we're really reading through original sources. You know, this is not just, you know, sit back and listen, and Rabbi Berzon is going to entertain you. No entertainment. It's hard work, and we have to read the Gedolei HaMefarshim, and the great commentaries. He says the following. Mishenishlechu, after they were sent out, he says, "V'hayu shlucheim shel rishayim." They were the now. Let's say the following. If you can help me here with the English, because I'm not coming up with the right term in English. You know, the agent is the agent. Who's the mishaleach in English?
The one who sends.
Yeah, can you give me that in one word? Is there a word for that? Any lawyers here in the audience?
The principal.
Principal, it's called?
Principal and agent, yeah.
Okay, good. I learned a new word. I mean, to me, the principal was the guy I hated in high school. But anyway, so the principal is the one who sends the shliach. Okay, fine. So he says the following, that the agents, meaning the Meraglim themselves, were agents of Rishayim. In other words, the principal, or in this case in plural, the principals were evildoers. Now, what does that mean? L'chora, if I were to ask you the question, who is the principal who sent the Meraglim on their agency?
Joshua.
Well, Joshua was one of the agents, but who was the one who appointed them? It would be Moshe. So what does the Maral Miprag mean? And this is very perplexing. And again, those who know the answer, keep it to yourselves, because I don't want to let the cat out of the bag. But the Maral says that the principals here were Rishayim, the ones who sent the Meraglim were evildoers. And therefore, says the Maral, since if you accept his basic premise that the ones who are principals and sent the agents are Rishayim, then he builds on that premise and he says, "Lamdu mimaseihem." When you send an agent, then that agent learns or imitates the principal. V'nasim kimo ha-mishalchem atzmav, and then the agents themselves behave like those who sent them. L'fichach, therefore, kasher nismanu, when they were initially appointed. Who initially appointed them? Moshe. Is ksherim hayu. That was fine. But achar ha-minui, but after the appointment took place, miyad, immediately, b'halicha, when they're on their way, rishayim hayu, they turn into evildoers, because now they serve as agents for a different set of principles, a different set of mishalchim. Lefichach, therefore, Rashi says later on, makish halichasim lebiyasam, that af halichasim v'yetzah ra, that even when they went out on the way, They were already Be'etzara, they were already on the evil path. And don't ask me a question, because it's not difficult. After all, we said they were Ksherim. The answer is, they were Ksherim at what point?
Only when they started.
Minu, at the time of Minu. Can you get the language down? Right, write it down, Harvey. Minu, at the time of the Minu. That means at the time that Moshe Rabbeinu appointed them, they were Ksherim. They were okay. When did they shift into the Eitzara? When they started fulfilling, implementing their agency. That's called Halicha. So we have Minui and Halicha. Because at that point, who are their principals? Rishayim. Okay, let's see what that means. So if you take a look in the Archaim HaKadosh, she says the following. This is number 8 on the bottom right. Efshar, it's possible, with such a kavanas ha-mishalchim hoisarah, the intentions of those who sent them were evil. Tafil poel harab shliach, and that has a terrible impact on the messenger himself, on the agent himself. Why? Because yachso liyo shluchol shel adam kimoso. We have a principle that the shliach, the agent of a person, is like the principle, the one who sent him, the yolidbo, and he generates in the shliach tchuna ra. In other words, if the one who sent the shliach is evil, then the shliach himself, by osmosis, so to speak, picks up. You know, there's like a contagious infection here. He picks up that evil. Mashal hoisa bokodim, but that didn't exist earlier. Kiderech shetolid b'chinas hakdusha b'shluchei mitzvah l'tova. When you send a person as an agent to do something good, to fulfill a mitzvah, then since your intention in sending him is a good one, is a positive one, for a mitzvah, he too becomes sanctified, he becomes elevated. Because shlucho shel adam kimoso. And on the flip side, he says, hagam shahayu tzadikim, in and of themselves, these agents, these meraglim, were good guys, they were saintly people, but nevertheless, bas chalosam, when it began their shlichus, asos halicha, when they wanted to go out, and they started their road, they're on the way, l'ragel, to spy out, nolad behem tchina ra, all of a sudden, within them, came into being, was born a bad trait. And where did that trait come from? If they were tzaddikim, mikoch ha-mishalchim, as a result of those who sent them, vayatsu la'diach. And they had an impact on them, la'diach. Now, let's try to understand what's going on over here. We assume that the meraglim was sent as agents of Moshe Rabbeinu, and therefore, since it was Moshe Rabbeinu sent them, and they now are extensions and impacted by the Mishaleach, the one who sent them, then they are Ksherim. But when they went on the road, when they were on their way, says the Gurariyeh and the Orachayim HaKadosh, they now picked up a different kind of Shlichus. Somehow there was a transformation of agency. Instead of being agents of Moshe Rabbeinu, they become agents of a different set of principles, who are motivated not for the sake of good, not for the will of God, but for something evil. Can anybody guess who those principles are? Who are they really? Who are the Meraglim really serving now as Shlichim?
The Shvatim?
David? Like the Shvatim, I don't know what you mean by the Shvatim, but can you give me a more general word than Shvatim? I mean, obviously, Shvatim are 12 subdivisions of what? What would you say is the general umbrella organization of the 12 Shvatim?
Rabbi?
Wait, before Rabbi, just I'm looking for one word here, and then we'll have a Rabbi here. But first, give me one answer to my question. Who sends the Meraglim, actually? Does anybody know that? All right, if you don't know, then you'll have to open up the Chumash, okay? I'm sorry. We'll turn to the Chumash. If you have the blue Chumashim, turn to page 435, and you'll see who actually sent the Meraglim. Okay? Now, David, you said the Shvatim. That's a correct answer, but I don't know why you have to mention Shvatim. You must have something much more profound in mind than what I have in mind. I have something very simple in mind. Who sent the Meraglim? So if you take a look in Dvarim, Perek Aleph, at the very beginning of the book of Dvarim, and we're looking now at Pasuk Chof Beis, and it says, Vatikruvun Eli Kulchem. Who's talking now?
Everybody.
No. Who's speaking? Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking. The entire book of Dvarim is one monologue in which Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking, and he says, "You all came close to me. You approached me. Vatomru, and you said to me, Nishlacha anoshim lifanenu. We want to send people." people, v'yachru olos haaretz, so they would scout out the land, v'yashiva osanu tovar, and then we'll know what we should do, and so forth and so on. And then in Pasuk of Gimel, the Torah testifies, Moshe Rabbeinu testifies, v'yitav b'yene adavar, and this idea found favor in my eyes. So in a sense, Rabbos, if we go back to the original principles, if we can use that word, the original Mishalchim, who were the original Mishalchim? B'nai Yisrael. Okay, they divide up into 12 Shvatim, but B'nai Yisrael. And that's why it says, V'atikru ne'lai kulchem, V'atomru nishlecha. So let's emphasize the word nishlecha. We must appoint our shluchim. So it's very interesting that Moshe Rabbeinu heard the request, he accepted the request and gave it approval, and therefore he appointed the Meraglim. So in a certain sense, the initial direct appointment was Moshe Rabbeinu appointing the Meraglim, but ultimately the Meraglim were working on behalf of whom? Who initiated the entire story? It was B'nai Yisrael, it was the people of Israel.
Who said Moshe appointed them?
Okay, that's what we're going to see as we go through all these sources, that there was a two-stage process over here. There was a direct appointment from Moshe Rabbeinu, and in that sense they were Ksherim, but the initial move and motivation and push was Nishalcha, we want to send. Who's the we in the plural? This is not the royal we, this is literally the plural we of B'nai Yisrael. And if you take a look at Ksam Sof, which is number 9, I think you'll see this in a beautiful insight of the Chafetz Chaim, of the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer, if you know, lived in the 1800s in Hungary in a city called Prešperj, and he wrote prolifically on so many different areas. His tshuvas are classics, but he also wrote a commentary on the Chumash. And on this pasuk, he says the following. He says, Yirali, it seems to me that the chait of the Meraglim, if we have to pinpoint it, is because of the Kavanas HaSholchim. The Meraglim themselves, if we isolate them, they were Ksherim, they were Tzadikim. We call them Chachamim, Gedolim, we gave them all the accolades. But the problem here of the chait and the original source of the sin is the intention of the Sholchim, those who sent them. The shliach himself may be in and of himself a pretty good guy, but he loses a lot as a result of the intention, the purpose, the goal of the one who sends him. He says the following in a side comment here. He writes that many of the chazonim, you know, the shatzim in our time, they in and of themselves are good people, but because of the way the tzibur behaves, or shall we say misbehaves, and they are appointed to represent the tzibur, sometimes they too misbehave. It's because of the influence of that body that sent you on your shlichus. V'hine, Ratza HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lezakos Es Yisrael. On the one hand, God wanted to give the Jewish people an opportunity. V'omar. And he said, and again, we're going back now to Parshas Shlach. Okay, we'll try to keep both parshas open. Right, the opening line here in Parshas Shlach is Shlach Lecha Adnoshim, in which Moshe Rabbeinu is being addressed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's saying to him, you, Moshe Rabbeinu, go send Adnoshim. And the singular Lecha is to be emphasized here. Lecha Levat. I want you to send these Shluchim. The Ein Zar Itoch. I don't want anyone to join you in appointing or sending these shluchim. The Alpi Hashem Yotzu. Now, who's the Mishalech now? It goes back to Almighty God Himself. Almighty God is saying, I want you to send the Meraglim. The Chein Hoya. And the Pasuk says later on, Vayishlach Osa Moshe Alpi Hashem. Okay, if somebody can find that post for me, I don't have the time for that right now. But anyway, so Moshe sends out the Meraglim. That's what it says. So here it is, Apostle Gimel. You got it? I should take more time before I prepared, as I was preparing the shiur, to write down where each post is, but sometimes I don't get a chance to do that. You know, I just finished, you know, Shabbos. Shabbos is not my day off. I don't know if anybody knows that. You know, most people get Saturday off. My heaviest day of the week is on Saturday. You know, that's what it means to be a rabbi, you know. So yesterday I gave three different talks. But anyway, so we're focused on this pasuk that says, Vayishlach Osa Moshe. Moshe sent him. And Hashem says, I want you, Moshe, to send him. And why? Onam nisari bozem achshav ra. Here's where the problem arises. Ki ira mikre sheba osa zman mamish etziva Hashem lishloch meraglim. Two things happen more or less at the same time. Hashem sent Moshe to send the meraglim, but at the same time, the ace nikshu, boba ace nikshu kol b'nei Yisrael lifnei Moshe. The people of Israel also approached Moshe. Lishloch lehem meraglim, as it says at the beginning of Parshas Dvarim. Now, why was Moshe confused about this? Vayitav b'enei adover. Moshe finds this request on the part of the people, the grassroots movement, finds favor in the eyes of Moshe. Why? Ki chashav Moshe shehiskimu daitom ledas hamakom baruch hu. It's an amazing thing. God and the people came up with the same idea. It's like, you know, a Talmud says to the Rebbe, I have an idea to answer your problem. The Rebbe says that was exactly the idea that I had. You came up with my idea. So two great thinkers think alike. Here God thought alike and the people thought alike. Vayita b'enei adov. Moshe Rabbeinu gets excited. He's dancing in the air because he's so thrilled. Sheskimu daitam ledas hamakom. Omnam, but what Moshe Rabbeinu didn't realize was here's the root of the problem. Al yidei zeh, because of this confusion, ira kilkul alaz, a terrible thing transpired. Kilo haisa b'chinas machsheves kulam shava. Because not every one of the meraglim had the same intention, the same idea. Rabim osu mikatnus emuna v'yotza egel azeh. He uses a phrase, v'yotza egel azeh, that sometimes, you know, if you have the wrong intentions, even though some people may have had the right intentions, an egel comes out. Here also, there were those who had the right intentions and those who had the wrong intentions. V'yodua ki nishlach me'akodesh baruch hu, if somebody is sent by God, nikra malach. A malach is by definition an agent of God. If we accept the mandate of God to implement his will with a capital H, then we are malachim. B'shashli chuso. And that's what the pasuk means when it says, v'yishlach malach. And Vayal Malach Hashem, many times in Tanakh, the Torah uses the word Malach to describe a human being, because a Malach is really a Shliach, and sometimes a human being, if he's fulfilling the will of God, he serves as a Malach, as a Shliach. Vehine, Im Hayu Holchim B'Shlichus HaBore, if the Meraglim would have said, you know what, God sent us, and we are fulfilling God's will. And then lo yitu aru roshei bnei Yisrael malahem l'torah zel l'gdula mizeh muchanim liyo shluchim rachmana. They would have said, this is the greatest level that we can possibly aspire to reach, to be malachim, to be servants of God. That would be great. But unfortunately, here's where the malachim, the meraglim, with all their great tzidkus and kashrus, they made a critical error. What do they call it? What's that phrase in English? When you make one wrong error. Okay. Ach bashar holchu al das b'nei Yisrael. Instead they said, you know what? We want to represent that people. Democracy, right? We want to be the representatives of the people.
Democrats.
The Democrats, right? Power to the people. You remember that? Power to the people. And therefore, lo hoylem tar malach. Then they forfeited their description or their identity as malachim. Why? Because now, take a look at the pasuk. The pasuk says in pasuk Gimel on page 368, it says, Vayishlach osam Moshe. So at this point they could have been shluchim of Moshe, who was a shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They could have been malachim. But instead the pasuk says, Kulam anashim roshei b'nei Yisrael hema. How did they see their goal? How did they see their role?
They were Democrats.
Representatives of the people.
Exactly, representatives of the people. And that's where they made a critical error. V'zeh ramas lanu akrok ki Moshe aseh shalom v'sholchem al pi Hashem. Moshe, from his part, sent them al pi Hashem. Right, that's the beginning of pasuk Gimel. And what does that mean, al pi Hashem? And the pasuk says that he, Moshe Rabbeinu, appointed them to be the shluchim of Hashem, based on the tzivui of Hashem, because the opening pasuk is Vayomer Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Shlach Lecha Anoshim. God sent them. Ah, but instead they became Anoshim. That's what the pasuk wants to emphasize. They became Anoshim. What does it mean they became Anoshim? V'lo Malachim. They could have been Malachim. Had they only gone with the right intention to fulfill the will of God, they would have been Malachim. That's what Shliach, that's what a Malach is. He's a Shliach HaKel. But instead, they decided to lower their level to that of Anoshim to represent the people. Ki Roshei B'nei Yisrael Hema V'lo Shluchei Aborei Yisparach Shemo V'kulam Anoshim Lav Tavkel Rubam Kekulam. Sometimes the pasuk says kulam to mean the majority, because 10 out of 12 saw themselves as representatives of the people, but 2 out of the 12 saw themselves as shlichim of whom? Of the Ribbono Shel Olam of Hashem. Ulefi ani istaiti haynu dechsiv b'meragle Yoshua, when Yoshua sent meraglim cheresh sheshulcham belat, why did Yoshua do everything clandestinely and quietly? In the pasuk that we read yesterday in the Haftorah goes out of its way to point that out. He says, Shalom is parsing l'shum Adam. Yoshua didn't want anyone to find out about the fact that he'd be sending 2 spies. Why? Because if Bnei Yisrael would find out about them, then the possibility would exist that these 2 meraglim would see themselves as shluchim of the people, and that would again mess everything up. And I want to show you, Rabosai, how this idea resurfaces and emerges over and over again in different forms and in different shapes. If you take a look at number 10, this is already from the great Gera dynasty of Hasidus. So we'll see this in the Sokhich of a Rebbe on the bottom of page 1, which is number 10, number 11. And in both, I think we'll see the same idea. Hamaraglim, Hayichol Lahatzil Nafsham. The Maraglim could have protected themselves. Bameshi Yasu Shlichusom Rakbishvil Shedibra Hashem El Moshe Lema Shlach Lecha. So they could have been fine and perfect had they accepted the job as Shluchim of Hashem. Bibchinas batel ritzonkum ifnei ritzono. It's a mission in Perkei Avos that says you should negate your will in front of the will of God. And everything would have gone well, but instead they wanted to see themselves as representatives fulfilling the will of the people. And as we'll soon see, the people of Israel had an entirely different intention here in sending out the meraglim, not a very positive one.
Amen.
Who invented cold tea? Dehine hasfarno hirgish b'parshas seder b'parshas dvarim shekadosh baruch hu tzivol ol Moshe shehu yishlach es hamaraglim. This was all meant to be the shlichus of Moshe Rabbeinu, fulfilling the shlichus of God. V'lo b'shlichus Yisrael rak hu yiyah hamashalech. The principle should be Moshe and only Moshe, exclusively. And then he quotes the Sukkot of a Rebbe that the Mishnah says in Masechta Brachos that if a shliach tzibur makes a mistake, like let's say for example he misses up the order or he omits one of the brachos of Shmon Esrei, then it's a siman ra l'sholchav. It's a bad sign for the shluchim, for those who sent him. Why? Because Shlucho shel Adam kemoso. Then we know that there's a connection between the Meshalech and the Shliach. Hari koach ha-Meshalech b'ha, koach ha-Shaliach, koach, excuse me, ha-Meshalech b'ha Shliach. In other words, whatever power is in the hands of the agent, it's the power that's invested in him by the principal who sent the agent. And therefore, im hayav emes kein, if the meraglim would have remained the shluchim of Moshe Rabbeinu, who in turn was commanded by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then they would have had the power of Moshe Rabbeinu. That would have been a very positive power. Here we're turning to the second side of your page. V'lo hayu nechsholim, and they wouldn't have failed. Omnam, but however, hey b'machshavtam, what did they think? They think Kevon Shaiel Tzarch Yisrael, the whole purpose of this venture, of this endeavor of sending out Meraglim, is for the benefit of Klal Yisrael. And they thought that therefore what moved Moshe Rabbeinu to appoint the Mishluchim, al pi bakashasam, because the people of Israel approached Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore they understood and defined themselves as Shluchim Shel Yisrael, as the agents of Israel, the Kamen Dekoach HaMshalech B'Shaliach, the power of the Mshalech is that which empowers the Shliach, Lizos Dvar Dibru B'Gnus Haaretz, and therefore as a result of this whole procedure now had a negative impact. And this is what the Marsha, I believe, is trying to emphasize in Sota. I told you in Sota, that's where the Gemara has this Hekesh, which Rashi quotes in his Pirush al Torah, that just like Biyasam was Bi'etzarah, so too Ali Chasam was Bi'etzarah. And he says, Nira Lefasha Tzolomar, on the second line, Delo Hoya Bazedas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Sheheid Kvar Oleh Shitova. When they, the people of Israel, came to request Meraglim, this was not something that was really good, that would find favor in the eyes of God, because God already told them that the land is good. V'hoyolehem lehamino, and Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who revealed this. They, the people of Israel, should have believed in Moshe Rabbeinu, the land is good. Bekach, b'derech moshol, bi'odom v'chibor lo chelik ra li'atzmon kol shekein b'bor shebir lo eretz Yisrael. If a person had to choose from all the lands that he has to choose from, he would certainly choose the best land. God had to choose one land from the entire globe. He would certainly, we could rely on God, that he would choose the best of all the lands. And this is the land which is described as Eretz Hashem Elokecha Doresh Osa. It has a special relationship to God. And this is the land which the Ramban tells us was so special. And Das Moshe Hayagam Kim Lishloch Meraglim. Moshe Rabbeinu also wanted to send Meraglim. Is Machatu Haim? So why are they considered sinners? Why are they at fault if Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to send Meraglim? Yosef Imenu, why are they more guilt? And the answer is, he says, Kigam Bimulchamos Elu, in these battles, Shahayolahem Chuas Hashem, God wanted to use a little bit of nature, and Hasus Muchan LeMulchama LaShem Atrua. Even though the horse is ready to go out and into battle, but really the victory is in the hands of God. God agrees to send that when Yeshua asks to send two shluchim, two spies to Rachav, if you remember Naftorah, Hen Kolevu Pinchas Shuhuksu Fala Tzadikim. He knew that these Tzadikim, Kolev and Pinchas, the two scouts that were sent by Yoshua, Lo Yotzibu Diba Ra Al Haaretz, Velo Shachos Hamrakshi Yedu Mehecha Noach Lichmosh. It was just part of this material, military strategy to decide from what side they should come in to conquer the land. Vegam Hiskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Im Moshe Lishloch Shnei Anoshim Ka'elu. He says, Shlach Anoshim, find two people. Anoshim is the minimum of plural, is always two. And he says, find two people who would certainly be reliable, that they know that they're not going to be Motzi Diba Ra in Eretz Yisrael. But Yisrael, but the people of Israel, Lo Yisrael Kavanosim Bekach. That wasn't their intention. They didn't want to know from what side should we attack, you know, based on natural law in the military campaign. Ella, but rather, later they had questions, and Tova in Ra. Is the whole endeavor worth it? We're not going to trust God that He testified that the land is good. We have doubts about it. We're skeptics. Moshe lo yodas kavanasam ze'ara. Unbelievable. That line is unreal. Only the Marsha could get away with this. If I would say this to you, you'd put me in cheresh. And rightfully so. He says that Moshe Rabbeinu was fooled and he was misled. He came to the mistaken conclusion that the people were moved and motivated not to question whether the land was good or not, whether the whole project was worth it, but rather, where should we attack from? Moshe thought that their intention and their motivation, their goal, their objective was identical with that of God. Valkane, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu testifies, Vayitav D'enai, that it was a great idea. But God said to Moshe, Shlach Lidatcha, send them according to your understanding of what their mission and what their goal is. But lo yadato kavanosam hara, you don't know that they have evil intention here, that they want to put this whole endeavor into question, you need to pen her. And he says, Lo Yadati ki Hashem Yira Lelevav. Moshe Rabbeinu was unable to penetrate into the hearts of the Jewish nation and find out that they wanted to undermine this whole project to conquer the land because they had doubts about the land. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have the insight that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had into their hearts. HaKadosh Baruch Hu understood that Moshe Rabbeinu, you send them for the right reasons. Al pi kavanosam harosh lo yaminu HaKadosh Baruch Hu she'er it's told they didn't believe that it was a good land. Lo ratzu kol shevet. Oh, here's your shevet v'shevet, David. Lo ratzu kol shevet v'shevet mehem l'shloach lo meragil she'edo mishifto. And why is it that each shevet wanted one representative of his shevet? Why did the people want each shevet representative? Ki lo heminu lo lazet. One shevet didn't trust the other, and they wanted to make sure that there would be a representation here of their desire to undermine and torpedo the whole endeavor to conquer Eretz Yisrael. And if you take a look at number 13, I want to show you something about the following. Kol's machlo nismanu amaraglim, until the final acceptance of the raglim of their mission, lo lamdu mimaseh maram shel Yisrael, they weren't contagiously infected and negatively infected by the people of Israel. Hayu tzadikim gemurim. But li'achar shenismanu lamdu miyad mimasehem haroim v'nefku l'rishon. And he says the answer is that once they accepted upon themselves this commitment to be the shluchim of the Meshalcheim, and therefore to fulfill the desire of those who sent them, and they thought that the best idea would be for them to accept upon themselves the shlichus, the mandate, and the agency on behalf of the people of Israel, at that point, that's when everything went awry. Now, why were they motivated to be the shluchim of the people? I mentioned before, you know, the democracy concept. He says it in a little different way. He says, Hargasha hazot nav'a mi'amakor kadosh. There was a holy source for this feeling on their part that they want to represent the people. What is that? Midat ha'emet, to be dedicated to truth, umidat achrayut, and to a sense of responsibility. They didn't try to undermine and eradicate this feeling on their part, each one of the Raglim, that they wanted to represent the people, because they thought it came from a holy source. It's based on the fact and emanates from the fact that they want to have a responsibility towards the people. They felt that this whole endeavor is for the benefit of Klal Yisrael. They have to do as a responsible leader should do, represent his people, and therefore they came to the conclusion that they should accept the das of Bnei Yisrael, kidei l'kayim ritzon mishalchem. They should do it in the way that the mishalchem want to do it. But that was evil inspired. Memele hushbu b'maseh marayim. Once they accepted upon themselves to be the long arm and the agents of Klal Yisrael, who had a different agenda, who had a very negative purpose and objective, that's when the maraglim became influenced, because that is their Meshalcheim. That is the influence of the Meshalcheim. And based on this, he comes to a brand new ethical principle, a new ethical conclusion. The Gemara is very famous that says, Al tamen bi'atzmachad yom moscha, a person can be a tzaddik all his days. He cannot believe in himself until the very, even on the day of his death. And it says about Yochin Kohen Gadol that he served in the Beis Hamikdash for 80 years, and he became a tzduki at the end of his career. So he says, how could a tzaddik possibly
go off the road
in such a way after 80 years dedicated to do the avodah and the mikdash? Doesn't he have a right to trust himself? What do you mean, al tam and biatzko, don't trust yourself? You sanctify yourself, you purify yourself, you take out every level of hedonistic desires, every midorah, every evil attribute, and you can't trust yourself? Why? So he comes to a very radical conclusion based on the parasha of the Meraglim. Teaches us a new breakthrough, a new yisod. He says, "Perusha shalov lachshol shem b'toch omek levavo adayin tmuna daku shel taimus." He says you could say that maybe deep down in his heart he's not aware of it. The tzaddik has in deep down in his heart some sort of inclination towards pleasures, towards bad midos, and so forth and so on, that might transform him from a tzaddik chas v'shalom to a rosh. He says, no, it doesn't have to be that way. What does it mean you don't believe in yourself? From this parsha of Moran, we have to conclude that yesh lochush, that what a tzaddik has to be wary of and is scared of, is that afilu midos tovosiv, even his good midos, sometimes can bring him into a very basic challenge and a test. Lahachshilo baveros chamuros. Imagine, a good, positive attribute could be the source that brings a person to do evil. And where do we find such a thing? The answer is the Meraglim. On the one hand, the Meraglim were motivated to do the good thing. They were motivated by a sense of achrayus and responsibility vis-a-vis the people. And they wanted to be the shluchim of the people. And therefore they thought that they have the right to be, to assume and have confidence in themselves. They're on the highest level like Yeshua and Kalev. But yet, berega kat, that very moment they made that critical error, and they decided to represent the people, and it became shluchim of the meshalchim of the people. Nefchu l'rishoyim nischayvu misav ol mazev avdu chelkav ol mazov. Why? Because midasam hatova, even a good midah, can be abused. Lasos v'chon sholchem, even a desire to do good for the people and play a role as the missionaries, the agents of that people. Hey, v'yosam l'idei nisoyim. That's what brought them to this very, very difficult stage of Nisayon. And therefore, again, if you take a look at number 17 for a moment, you will see that Harei Lamala Omar Kulam Anoshim Loshon Kashivus Magid Shmosa Shok Sherim Hayu. When they left and they were appointed, they were Ksherim in Kelo Holchu Beitzara. They didn't go in a bad way. So how can you say Makish Halichasam would be awesome? Yesh Lomish Lo Nichtov Kulam Anoshim Elo Bishas Hashlichus Velo Bishas Hashalicha. We have to differentiate between two moments in time. There's a moment when they were appointed, and then a moment of Halicha. They were appointed as the emissaries of Moshe Rabbeinu, who in turn was commanded by God. But as soon as they started the halicha, hafchu oref leMoshe, they turned their back against Moshe. Klomar hichziku b'derech, they decided they're going on the road. Hischilu aleches, they began their halicha, and at that point, they decided that they would be the emissaries of the people of Israel. Hichlitu laotzi dibara. And therefore, because of this influence, despite all the miracles that they saw, and Kriyas Yamsuf, and the tzaddikim and chachamim that they were, nevertheless, chatu. Why? Because the hashpah of Moshe Rabbeinu was not enough. The impact of a great tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu was not enough. As long as, you know, they were looking at him, and he was looking at them, and he appointed them, they wouldn't sin. But as soon as they went on their road and their way, and they decided, as we said before, they're not going to accept the shlichus of Moshe Rabbeinu, but of Klal Yisrael, at that point everything goes awry. And now, if you'll give me another few minutes, I want to connect this all to the story of Korach. Chazal say about Korach, it's a tanchuma, that Chacham Gadol Hayu Korach, he was a great scholar. And yet, look what happened to Korach. Korach had an argument against Moshe Rabbeinu, a rebellion against the authority of Aaron as the Kohen Gadol. What happened? And the essence of Korach's argument
was jealousy.
Perhaps was jealousy, but I mean to say, in the text of the Torah, if you take a look. Okay, let's take a look at the pasuk itself on page 378. And this is Perek Tezayin Pasuk Gimel. Ki kol ha'eda kulam kidoshim u'besocham Hashem. The entire nation of Israel is holy. U'madua tisnasu al ka'al Hashem. Why do you lord it over us? We're all great. We're all endowed with sanctity. So the Zohar says an amazing comment. I don't know if you're familiar with it. He says that Korach had a double machlokas. Korach rejected Moshe and Aaron and rejected the Shabbos. Because we find at the very end of Parsha Shlach, there's a whole problem here with different kinds of violations against against the Shabbos. Strange, no? Korach against Shabbos. A whole new episode. We have to write a new treatise. Korach's rebellion against Shabbos. Then the Medrash says the following. Moshe Rabbeinu turns to Korach Vadoso and he says, Boker, if somebody can find the pasuk for me, Boker V'yeda Es Hashem. What pasuk is it? You also heard, don't have a chumash, I see. So we're both in the same boat. Where is it?
I think it's
Pasuk Hey. Okay, great. Pasuk Hey. Boker V'yoda Hashem V'es Hashalom. And the Medrash comments on this, Oh Rabbi Natan Mekom Shorchu, if you know what? Just like there's a clear difference between Boker and Erev, between light and darkness, day and night, Kach, so too Ivdalti Aaron, so too Aaron was designated as Kodesh Kadosh in the Holy of Holies. What's this all about? I mean, what is Boker, day, night, and that distinction, what does that have to do with Aaron and his Kedusha? So I want to share with you an insight of the Tolna Rebbe. He says that Rabbi Yehuda Levi authored the great work Huzarin. At the end of Maimar Chamishi, he drops the bomb. And he says the following, we divide up the universe into four levels, going from the bottom to the top. The bottom is called Domem, that's carbon, what's called inanimate objects. Then we go to Tzomeach, that's already vegetation. Finally we go to Chai, that's the animal kingdom. And then we reach the highest pinnacle, Medaber, the human being who's endowed with the power of speech. Comes along the Kuzari, Rabbi Yehuda Levi, and he says, no, there's a fifth Madrega, a fifth level. And what is that fifth Madrega? That's Am Yisrael, the people of Israel. It's a separate category, not to be equated with Medaber in general. It's qualitatively different. Unto itself, unique. And it cannot be called something that's just greater, but it's completely different on its own in a separate category. And he quotes the pasuk Vavdil Eschem in Amen. The word Havdalah means to set up something that's absolutely separate and absolutely unique. And here I want to fast forward to the punchline of a 6-page essay, if you don't mind, because I see we're really fighting against the clock. And he says the following. We might think that there are 6 days of creation, and then there's the Shabbos. The Shabbos is just another day in the week. Maybe on a greater level, it has a greater sanctity and endowments. No. Shabbos is a separate entity. With regard to Shabbos, we use the word Havdalah. The Tanakh speaks about separating the Shabbos. Same thing with regard to Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron. Just like we differentiate between day and night, those are 2 separate entities. They cannot be compared at all. So too, Aaron is Kodesh Kadoshim. He's on a level unto himself. It's not just a greater quantity. It's the emergence of a brand new quality, a new category, a new existence. What was the argument of Korach in his Havan, in his understanding? Madua tisnasu kulam, kolayda kulam kadoshim. Okay, maybe Moshe Aaron, you are endowed with greater intellect and greater knowledge and greater saintly, you know, sanctity and so on, but Kol Eidah Kula Kedosha, you belong to the whole Eidah. What they, Korach and Hadassah, failed to recognize and acknowledge was that Moshe and Aaron in a different category. They don't understand, they don't appreciate what a tzaddik for a generation really means. And just like God created the Shabbos as a separate entity, and the entire week to come is impacted by the Shabbos that precedes it, and the Kedusha of Shabbos is going to spill over onto the week to come because Shabbos is in a category of its own, so too the entire Kedusha of Klal Yisrael depends upon that one person, that one tzaddik, who is in a separate category. So although you're right, Kol Ha'edah Kulam Kedoshim, but where does that Kedusha emanate from? If we saw that the Meraglim refused to see themselves and view themselves as Shluchim of Moshe Rabbeinu, had they done so, they would have been protected because that would have been the Eitzah Tova. But instead, they didn't appreciate the shlichus of Moshe Rabbeinu, they picked up the shlichus of Klal Yisrael. Korach is also that kind of, you know, democratic, you know, pro-democracy, power to the people person, and he's saying, let's waive the power of the Eidah Kedoshim. But really, in truth, if they would have understood, Korach Vadoso, that the source and the root of all the sanctity of Klal Yisrael is the Havdalah, the separation of Moshe Rabbeinu from the entire nation, and that the pasuk says about Moshe Rabbeinu, "Vayaminu b'Hashem uveMoshe Avdo," or Hakadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, this is in Shmos Perek Yutes, "Vegam becha yaminu liolam." That's a pella. That's an amazing kind of statement. There'll be belief emunah with regard to Moshe. How's that possible? Emunah means to believe in God, not in a person, not in a human being,
but forever.
Oh. And Leolam, forever. What does it mean? He says HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Korach that you don't appreciate what it means v'gam b'cha yaminu Leolam. That Klal Yisrael will believe in Moshe and in the Nevuah of Moshe. This belief is the foundation of all of Judaism. The belief in Moshe and his Torah, Moshe and his special, unique, qualitatively unique level as the Navi that would bring us Torah, To the extent in which the Gemara says in Bava Basra, Sadiq Gozer v'Kodesh Baruch Hu Mekayim, and the Gemara in Titus quotes a memra of Rabbi Avo, Omar Elokei Yisrael Li Dibur Tzur Yisrael Ani Moshe Bi Adam. God says, I control and the sovereign ruler over man. Me Moshe Bi. Imagine God asks the question, who will control me? Hatzadik. The tzaddik himself controls the Almighty Kaviyochel. Shani gozer v'hu mevatel. That somehow, unbelievable, the tzaddik has the power to be mevatel gzera. Yeshef shamut l'tzaddik l'amod v'peretz levatel gzerasa shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu natan hednik l'tzaddikim kochos, unbelievable powers, b'schut ba'asev v'kiros al Hashem, kochos, Mavdil es atzadikim mishar Knesset Yisrael lios chativa b'fnei atzma, to be an entity unto themselves. In other words, the Kuzari took us one step further beyond Medaber. We have Klal Yisrael as a separate entity. Now we're taking Klal Yisrael. We're going one step beyond that. A whole new category that's qualitatively different. A whole new madrega, and that's something that Korach didn't tolerate. Korach was willing to accept that beyond Medaber there's some special level called Kulam Tzadikim, Yamech Kulam Tzadikim, but he was unwilling to see Moshe and accept and acknowledge that Moshe and Aaron were in a category of themselves. So he wrote so we should be Zoche to accept the shlichus of a Moshe Rabbeinu, of a tzaddik, and then that will impact us because shlucho shel adam kimoso. And it means that if we accept and acknowledge that special category of a Moshe Rabbeinu, v'gam b'cha yaminu li'olam, with that we can begin our process of halicha, of going towards Eretz Yisrael, of Emirat Hashem, bringing all the Jews together here in Eretz Yisrael, b'mehera v'yameinu.
Amen.
Thank you so much. I'll give you a litmus teretz.